Listen, that's the message that we want the world to know, that there is hope for the hopeless. Amen? Did you hear me? That's what we want the world to know. We want the world to know that there is hope for the hopeless. I'm going to share with you this morning some things that we've shared and talked about a lot here on Wednesday nights. And I know that not everyone has been here and been a part of this conversation, but there's been a core group that we've been having this conversation with. So June, July, whichever you want to pick, it'll be 2 years that I came here as your pastor. And when I met with the search committee and when I met with you as a church, we talked about kind of where we felt or where we thought maybe God might be leading us, or just, you know, what that might look like. And really, what I shared with the search committee and what I shared with the church in the very beginning is that what would we do? How would we do church if we just started over? We just took a blank piece of paper, said we've never done church before. How would we do that? Okay? You know, one of the things that I feel very convicted about, I feel God's leadership in, you know, we always try to do church like this. That's the best my fingers will do to make a square, okay? We do church like this, okay? We put it in the box and we say, this is how we do church. And the reality is that if you want to do church like that, there's 15 other Southern Baptist churches that are doing church like that right here. Our question was, if we want to be like every other church, why don't we join together and be a stronger church? Why don't we have all these different churches? So what is it that God's called us to? What is, and I hate to use the word, but just lack of a better word, niche. What is it God's specific calling for us? Well, you know, this church, they do this. Well, we don't want to do that necessarily just because they're doing that. We want to do what we feel God leading us to do. And so we've had conversations here on Wednesday nights about that. I shared, again, initially with the church, look, if you don't want to change, don't call me, okay? I feel like God's called us to maybe do something different. And listen, the gospel message never changes. Jesus Christ died, buried, rose on the third day. That is where our trust and our salvation is in. Amen? Nothing changes. The Word of God is true. It's infallible. It's inerrant without any mixture of anything whatsoever. This is absolutely true from the first page to the last page of the maps. Okay? I'm not going to contradict or teach anything contrary to God's Word. I've committed to that. I had a lady come in my office one day and at another church, and she said, you know, you really need to be careful when you use Scripture that you don't take it out of context and use it in the wrong way. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I said, I try very hard, not saying that I'm perfect, but I try very hard not to do that. She said, well, this past Sunday, you used some Scripture out of context. I said, okay, let's look at that. I keep all my notes. Looked at all the Scripture I'd used, and I brought it out. I said, okay, tell me, which one of those did I misuse? She said, well, I don't really remember. So I said, okay, let's, you know. So the bottom line is, listen, I regard God's Word. It is God's holy Word. We're going to follow God's Word, okay? But when we think about this thing we call church, it's more than just what we do in the four walls of this building, okay? And so I'm going to give you a little background this morning about where we've been, how we've gotten there, and where we're going, okay? So hang on a little bit, all right? And I promise you, I'm going to get you out before 5. I've already made you that promise. I really don't know if I'll get through with this or not this morning. But I got a couple of slides that I want to show you to begin with this morning. First of all, so this is a big whiteboard. This wasn't my idea. You already had it here, okay? So I got the big whiteboard and I brought it in here and we set it up on Wednesday nights and we began to talk, just in conversation with everyone, everybody had opportunity to give input and all those kind of things. I tried to get people to draw that out. And so basically what we wanted to do, we wanted to evaluate our community. That is our place of ministry. What does that look like? What's the local setting in Vicksburg? Okay? And what you see here, that local setting of Vicksburg, all those things right there, that's actually kind of a reduction of what at once covered that whole board. Okay? This is, we kind of got to the summation of all of these things, and this is kind of it. So we talked about our local setting, then we talked about our potential to ministry. What are our gifts? What are our talents? What are our skills and all of those things? What is it that we have to offer to our place of ministry? Okay? And then we talked about our passion for ministry. What is it that, man, we just wake up in the mornings? It's not just what keeps us awake at night. It's really kind of what wakes us up. It's what we really have our hearts and our minds and our spirits set on, okay? And so we talked about those things. And where those three overlap is that red mark. That's where we want to get to, okay? That's what we really want to focus on, okay? And so we talked about our place of ministry and all those kinds of things. So let me show you the next slide. So our next slide, we began to try to even reduce that down now to a sentence, okay? So we put Trinity Baptist Church exists to glorify God and make disciples, all right? Every church exists to glorify God and make disciples. That should be across the board. I don't care what church you go to. If your church is there to glorify God and make disciples, you need to find another church, okay? That goes for those people watching online, those people that are listening this morning on the radio, okay? That's what every church should do. And that comes right out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus himself gave commission to the church, go ye therefore, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Go therefore, make disciples. So that comes right out of Scripture, okay? But then we start talking about, well, how? How do we do that? So we begin by empowering mature, loving, and equipped congregation. Those are kind of the three words where we kind of settled on all of the whole whiteboard of words. We tried to reduce all of that down, and we reduced it down to those three words: mature, loving, and equipped congregation. And then we began to describe our ministry area. In a diverse and a divided and a hopeless and a spiritually lost community. We as a community, as Vicksburg, Warren County, man, we have so many divisions. Man, there's socioeconomic divisions, there's race divisions, there's all of these things that education-wise. I mean, we've got people with PhDs and we've got high school dropouts, you know? We've got people that make lots of money, and we've got people, we've got one of the highest poverty rates in the whole state of Mississippi, okay? And that diversity also brings about a division, okay? And it also creates a hopelessness. You know, and I shared this story with our Wednesday nights, and I've shared it with you before. When we moved here, we would meet people, and it was like, hey, we're new here. And they're like, where did you move from? And we're like, well, we moved here from Hattiesburg. And they're like, I'm telling you, their whole demeanor changes, and their body changes, and their shoulders slump, and they go, why'd you move here? We talk to people all over town. They're like, man, I wish we could move somewhere else. There seems to be this hopelessness. And listen, Vicksburg is a great place. I don't agree with them, okay? And we've loved our time here. We love the people here, man. We've met so many cool people and had such great conversations, and there's so much. And I've already been told by my dad that my clothes are fitting tighter and all those kind of things. They're wonderful places to eat around here. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Great Baptist foundation here, right? So we talk about that. And spiritually lost. 77% of people that are within a 15-minute drive of Trinity Baptist Church have no church affiliation. That's some 36,000 people. And out of that, there's a handful of people that have a church affiliation. They're spiritually lost. They're hopeless because they're spiritually lost. They're not hopeless because they live in Vicksburg. They're hopeless because they don't have a real, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. When you're in a right relationship with Christ and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I don't care where you live, you'll have hope. Amen? And so we talked about it. So then we moved on, okay? And then we have a deep passion for, we talked about ministry, sharing the gospel, sharing hope, meeting needs of people to provide hope in Christ. So you take all of that, you kind of boil it down, and reduce it down, and you come up with this kind of rough statement. That's still pretty rough and still pretty broad, right? Okay, so let me show you the next slide. So then we began to try to fine-tune that. So we spent several weeks. If you've been here all these Wednesday nights, raise your hand. Raise your hand. See, these are the folks going, God, we've heard this for 2 years. You know? So we tried to bring this down even more. Meeting needs, sharing gospel. What does that mean? What does that look like? Making disciples, all those kind of things. So we worked on that for several weeks. Okay? Now, let me show you this next slide. We have another slide? Okay, there we go. So then we kind of put it in print. Trinity Baptist Church exists to glorify God and make disciples by empowering a mature, loving, and equipped congregation in a diverse, divided, hopeless, spiritually lost community with a deep passion for sharing the gospel, sharing hope, and by meeting the needs of people. Okay, so that was still too big. Can you memorize that? Any of you can memorize that? Okay, no. So, this morning, we want to try to reduce that down a little more and want to share with you kind of where we landed, okay? I don't think we have another slide, do we? I think that's it, okay? So here's kind of where we're going. Trinity Baptist Church exists to glorify God and make disciples by, number one, loving people. Living in community, meeting needs, sharing hope. Okay? Have your Bibles with you this morning. I want you to turn with me in the book of 1 John. 1 John, and notice there in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. If you get to Revelation, go all the way to Revelation, start backing up. You'll get 3 John, 2 John, then you'll get to 1 John. Okay? But 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to begin this morning in verse 17. While you find your place, verse 16 says this, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." God demonstrated to us what love looks like by laying down his life for us. Okay? And so this morning, we want to talk about how do we love people? How do we live in community? How do we meet needs? And how do we share hope? Okay? So verse 17 says, "But whoever has these needs or has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" John raises a question. How can you say you love God if you have all these things and you're not helping others? "My little children," he says, "let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Okay? "And by this we know that we are the truth, or of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." It's when we love out loud that we actually put into practice our relationship with Christ. Just to come to church, to learn Bible verses, to learn spiritual truths, to go through these religious exercises, all those kind of things, That's shallow stuff. That's shallow stuff, okay? Sometimes I think it's like this. I heard this illustration the other day. I thought it was pretty cool. You know, sometimes you can get out in the water and you can take your socks and shoes off and pull your breeches legs up and you can wade out in the water a little bit, right? You can kind of walk around out in there. And after a little while, you can get back out of the water. You can put your britches legs down, and you can dry your feet off, put your socks shoes back on, and nobody even knows you've been in the water. I think that's what we do at church sometimes. We come to church and we just kind of wade around in the shallow waters. When I was a little boy, we lived a pretty good distance from the Washita River. Grew up in Monroe. Washita River divided Monroe and West Monroe. And I was somewhat of a little hooligan, and I was always exploring. And so my friends and I, we'd ride our bicycles and we'd ride all the way to the Washita River. And they had a Twin City Queen down there. It was a big riverboat, or a little riverboat. And they'd have little parties on it and all those kind of things. Well, us kids, we'd ride down there to where the Twin City Queen was docked, and we would get out on it, and we'd jump off into the river and swim. And we'd ride back home, and we thought, you know what? We'd ride back home, we'd be dry. Our moms and dads never knew we'd been swimming in the river. Only problem was, when we got ready to go to bed that night, got ready to take a bath and took our clothes off, our whiteies were brownies. That brown river water had turned our white underwear brown, and our moms were like, "Where have you been?" It was evident we'd been in the river, right? Sometimes I wonder, people look at us and go, they don't even realize we've been in the water. Man, people ought to know we've been in the river. People ought to know we've been in the deep waters with God, okay? And so, to put that love into practice. So let's think about it through this morning. So how do we glorify God and make disciples? Number one, loving people. There's an old Peanuts cartoon where Linus says to Lucy, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." If you ever, so some of you are right, like, let me write that down. "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." I can see it on some of your faces this morning. Man, you've yet to smile, you know? I mean, it's like, man, you just miserable, man. You're miserable to the core, and you don't like yourself, and you don't like anybody else. You know, sometimes we struggle with that, right? The Bible says that we're to love others as we love ourselves, right? And sometimes the problem with loving others is we don't love ourselves. We're not happy with who we are, where we're at. And it doesn't really matter where you're at in life, socioeconomically or educationally or geographically or anything else. Some people are just not happy. And they don't love themselves. But we're to love ourselves and we're to love others. We need to love people. Here's what John writes in the next chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. He says this: "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother." He says he must love his brother. It's not optional. There's a must there. Jesus said, "I must go," and he would go. "I must be about the Father's business." It's the same word. We must love the brethren. To love people. To love God's creation. When we struggle to love people, what we're really saying is, "God, I know you're a perfect and holy God. But God, if you ever came close to making a mistake, I know where it was at." I know the guy that you almost messed up on, right? That's what we're really saying. No, we're to love people, to have a genuine love for people. Because God loved us and God loves them. Listen, the world needs to know that there's a God who loves them. But the world will never know there's a God who loves them when God's church doesn't demonstrate that love to them. I want people that are in this building this morning. I want people that are listening on the radio. I want people that are watching online. I want you to understand this morning is that God created you for the purpose just so he can love you. And there is absolutely nothing you can do this morning that would cause God to love you any less than he already does. And there is absolutely nothing you can do that would cause God to love you any more than he already does. You might say, but preacher, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I'm at. You don't know how I've lived. And all. Hey, listen, I don't care. All I know is what God's Word says. And God's Word says He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for your sins. It's the great demonstration of God's love toward us. And we're to then be a reflection of that and love others just as Christ loved us, to demonstrate that love to them. Here's another word. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 31, Jesus was asked, He said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? And He said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. He didn't say this was the fourth, fifth, sixth, or there might be some other things more. He said, there are no other commandments greater to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we are duty bound to love. And I don't know about you, but that's reassuring to me this morning. It's a challenge to me because now I have to love you, whether I want to or not. Okay? See, love is not this ushy-gushy feeling that you see when you see somebody across this crowded room, you know? Love is a commandment of God that we have to love. So it's a challenge to me because I have to love you anyway. But it's a comfort to me because you have to love me. And that's probably a greater challenge for you than it is for me, right? So we love people. Just have a genuine love for people. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus said, now you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Love your enemies, bless them who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He who makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. We're going to really get into to Matthew chapter 5 a little later when we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus is saying here, we're not only to love our neighbors. He said, you've heard it said to love your neighbor, but here's what I'm really telling you. He said, I'm telling you, you even have to love your enemies. I heard about a guy who went to the pastor one day and he said, preacher, he said, I'm really struggling. He said, I'm having some relationship problems with my wife. And he said, well, you know, he said, the Bible says that you're to love her as Christ loved the church. He said, yeah, I'm having a difficult time doing that, Chris. He said, well, if you can't love her as Christ loved the church, he said, can you love her as a neighbor? You know, the Bible says that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, yeah. He said, I don't even know if I like being around her. I don't know if I can love her as a neighbor. He said, well, the Bible says you have to love your enemies. He said, can you love her as an enemy? He said, I might can do that, preacher. Seriously, listen, God's called us and commanded us to love everyone. People that don't look like us, people don't smell like us, people that don't talk like us, people that live different from us. I've always felt that somehow God gave me the spiritual gift of fellowship. I don't know if that's really a spiritual gift or not. I don't know if that's one of them, but I've adopted it anyway. I love hanging out with people. I love visiting with people. I love hearing people's stories, and I love sharing life with people and all those kind of things. And some people say, well, you know, that just kind of comes more natural to some people than to other people. Listen, the Bible says when we are born again, that we are new creations in God. Listen, God's created every one of us to be people persons. God, think about it. God created us for relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, right? It's the divine picture of perfect fellowship. And God, being love, desired to love something, so He created man so that He would have an object to love. created all of creation and placed man as the crown jewel of that so that he could pour out all of his love on man. God created us for relationship, and relationship and loving other people should be natural to us, every one of us, because God's created us to be people persons. I don't know if that's good English or not, but you hear what I'm saying? We ought to have a genuine love for people. Listen, if you say you've been a Christian for years and you still don't have a heart for people, I want to challenge you this morning to check your heart. Check your heart this morning. Hey, man, we still got water in the baptism this morning, okay? And by the way, it's National Baptism Day. All across Southern Baptist Convention, we're having baptisms. And so, man, you need to get baptized this morning. This would be a good opportunity, right?
Water's
still in there, man. I'm telling you. Before we leave here today, man, we'll make it happen, okay? And so listen, when we get our hearts right with God and we get in right relationship with God, then we're going to have a heart to be in right relationship with other people. We're going to love people. We're going to love to hang out with people. We're going to love to fellowship with people and grow in those relationships. And so through our conversation, we really feel like that where God has placed us in our ministry context here in Vicksburg, God's called us to glorify Him and make disciples just by simply loving people. Loving people. Okay? Now listen, that's a challenge for some of us. I heard about a lady one day who got pulled over by the police, and she said, "Why'd you pull me over? I wasn't speeding." He said, "No, I was pulling you over for auto theft." She said, "What do you mean for auto theft?" He said, "Well, ma'am," he said, "the way you were screaming and hollering out the window at that person back there at the intersection, and you got a 'Love Jesus' bumper sticker, I knew this car couldn't have been yours." Hello? Hey, listen, if we're going to name the name of Jesus and we're going to call ourselves Christians, then we ought to go out there and love like Christians, all right? I changed that story to protect the innocent. It was a man, not a woman. And I'm not going to tell you what his real name was, but no. Simply just to love people. We got it? Check that block. Are we there? Hello? Amen? Amen. Check the block. Love people. Okay. And then secondly then, I knew this was going to happen, is to live in community. Just to live in community. Now listen, this is the first step to actually loving out loud. We can love people, we can have a heart for people, but then when we live in community, it's really the first step of actually loving out loud. Now, community itself, that word itself, connects us with each other. You've heard this word used in the social sector of our society today. We hear things like community health, mental health facilities, or we talk about community policing, or we talk about community-based philanthropy. We talk about community economic development, all those kinds of things. See how we use community to try to convey a message? But understand this, community originates in Scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 says this, "Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." So the Scripture gives us some broad context of what it means to live in community. Now later he says in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 3, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Sounds like community to me, right? It's about not just taking care of ourselves, but it's also being genuinely concerned about other people that are around us. Not just making life better for us, but making life better for others as well. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, it says this: let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So again, we see this in Scripture, this context of living in community. And when you walk through the Gospels in the life of Jesus, you find that Jesus lived in community. Jesus lived with his apostles, and they lived in community with each other, and they lived in community with others as well. We see stories of Jesus where he goes to Zacchaeus. Remember, he goes into the town. Everybody's crowded around. Everybody wants to see Jesus. This is the miracle worker. This is the guy who's doing all of these cool things and healing people. And Zacchaeus is this little bitty guy, and he goes and climbs up in the sycamore tree, right? For the Lord he wanted to see. And Jesus passed by and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, I'll meet you at the synagogue. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Jesus lived in community with people. I'm going to share Wednesday night some things from our trip this week in Canada. And one of the things that I learned is their culture up there. So they meet people and they try to build relationships with each other. But when you meet someone and you kind of want to take that relationship, say, hey man, we really want to spend time together and hang out with you guys, get to know you more, you don't invite them to your house. You invite yourself to their house. You say, hey, I want to come to your house. I want to visit with you. And they're like, hey. It's kind of like, remember in first grade when you write that letter to that little girl and you'd say, hey, if you like me, circle yes or no. And then you gave it to your friend and you told them to give it to another friend and give it to another friend before it got to her so you would be disconnected. And if she said no, you'd say, I didn't write that. You know. So it's to say, hey, I like you. Can I come to your house? Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, come to my house. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. See, living in community is living life together, eating meals together, sharing those things together. We see through not only Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. Matthew was a tax collector. We see Jesus, when he went to Samaria, he met a woman at the well. I mean, he was in a country, he was in a place, he was in a neighborhood that he shouldn't be in. Jews didn't go there. And he was hanging out with somebody that he should be hanging out with. And yet, he purposed to meet her in the village setting, around that well where they all came out to get water. He met her, if you will, in the marketplace. If they'd had coffee shops back then, that's where he'd have been. She came there to get water. She came there to get a drink. And Jesus made a divine appointment to meet her there. He went there just to hang out. Waited for her to get there. That's how Jesus demonstrated living in community. Now, community itself is complex. Insufficient understanding of what a community is and its role in the lives of people in diverse societies and all those kind of things lead kind of to a downfall of what many maybe be well-intended community efforts to understand really what that means. I was in a group yesterday. We met with a group over at City Light Church, Mission Mississippi. It's an organization that I've been involved in just recently. And it's about having conversations about racial healing, racial reconciliation. And so we were having these conversations. And at the end of the day, we were kind of going through these debriefings. And one of the questions that was asked was this. It was a really interesting question to me. And the question was, how would our community change if we were to solve the racial issues? How would our community look different if we solved the racial issues? And you know what came to my mind? School wouldn't change. Because we go to school together. Every tribe, every color, every ethnicity, every socioeconomic level, we all go to school together, right? Come on. We go to the same places and eat, right? So the restaurants wouldn't change. The mall, the shopping centers wouldn't change because we all go to the same shopping centers. Okay? Work wouldn't change. Our employment places wouldn't change because we all go to the same places to work. We all got to have jobs, right? You know the biggest change in our community? Church. The place that should be leading is the last place where we see relationships and community being lived out. Now listen, this is not a race thing. This is a relationship thing. Because here's the reality, okay? Just take a deep breath and get over that, okay? What I just said, okay? Now hang on. You see, it's a relationship thing, not a race thing, and this is the proof. We don't even live in community with each other. And we all look the same, believe the same, have the same likes and dislikes. Yet we come to church on Sunday morning, we wave at each other across a crowded room, and we leave, and we never socialize together. We never call each other and invite each other to eat or invite each other to our house. We never have that community setting outside of something organized at church. People aren't looking for a friendly church. Folks are looking for friends. And that's why we experienced when the pandemic hit and people started watching church online. People began to realize, I was going to church, I was hearing a sermon, and I was leaving. Nobody was talking to me. Nobody called me during the week. The only time I ever saw or heard from them was when we were at church. And so now I don't have to go through that. I can just stay at home and watch, and I'm getting the same thing that I got when I was there in person. See, we've done a very poor job of living in community. Now listen, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. I'm telling you. Look, I'm trying to challenge you this morning. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Man, if we're going to talk about it, let's do it. If we're going to love people, let's love out loud. Let's live in community with people. What community is not? Community is not a place. It's not a building. It's not an organization. And is not found on social media. Okay? What community is both a feeling and a set of relationships among people. People form and maintain communities. We meet each other. We meet common needs. We're members of a community. We have a sense of trust and belonging and safety and caring for each other. And listen, a lot of what we experience in church today, not just Trinity, but I'm talking about in church today, is we don't trust one another. And the reason we don't trust one another is because we don't know one another. We've not spent enough time with each other. Listen, Miss Kathy, I love her to death. Miss Kathy writes my check every week. There's two people in this world that I trust with my paycheck. Kathy and Rhonda. They make the deposit. Okay? But I'm telling you, if Kathy can't take my check to the bank and me and Rhonda are out of town, I'm not calling Mike Gillis to take my check to the bank. Mike was just talking about this morning how I'm always picking on him. So I thought, what better opportunity, right? No, seriously. Seriously, think about it. We lack trust with one another. And the reason we don't trust one another is because we just not spend enough time with each other. We have to live in community to build trust, to build relationships, to fall more in love with each other. Last thing on living in community. Jesus, I wrote this down because I want to make sure that I said this. Jesus would never live next door to someone and not know them. Jesus would never live next door to someone and not know them. Jesus would never pull into his garage and close the door and never speak to his neighbors. Jesus would never avoid people. Jesus would never refuse to go into certain neighborhoods. Now, I understand, ladies, God gives us a brain to use, right? So we need to be wise. But I'm just telling you, Jesus would never avoid people. So we got halfway through this morning. We'll finish part two next week on meeting needs and sharing hope. But this morning, we want to glorify God. We want to make disciples by loving people and living in community. This morning, if you walked in these doors, if you turned on the radio, if you logged in online, and you did not know that there's a God who loves you, a God who wants to be in relationship with you, and a God who wants to live in community with you this morning, I want you to know, beyond anything else this morning, God loves you. God wants to live in an intimate, personal love relationship with you. You may say, "Preacher, that sounds exactly like what I need. I just don't know how to do it." This morning, we give you an invitation just simply to come. Just come this morning. Say, "Pastor, today I want that relationship with Christ. I don't know how to do it. Don't know what all that means. But I know this morning there's something missing in my life. And I've realized today that's what's missing." And so we invite you simply to come this morning. Would you come? Maybe this morning, God's impressed upon your heart. "Hey, you know what? I love Jesus. But man, I've been struggling to love some folks. Or I love Jesus and I love people, but man, I've been a hard time trying to be neighbors and live in community." Hey, I want to make that commitment this morning. God, help me today. Get out of my chair. Get out of my house. Get out of my comfort zone. God, help me today to begin to live in community with folks around me. Maybe this morning you're looking for a church home. Man, we'd love to have you right here at Trinity. So this is the invitation time for you to come this morning. Hey, would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Father God, this morning we love you. God, we thank you this morning. God, for your love for us. God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, this morning I pray. God, I pray most of all. God, if there's someone that's listening or watching or someone in this building today, God, who's never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray this morning they would know that you love them. God, that you desire to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart and be the Lord and Savior of their life. God, to take up residency there. God, to live in community with them. God, you tell us that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. So God, this morning I pray as you've spoken into hearts today, God, I pray they'll respond now during this time. Father, again, we love you. We thank you this morning. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. I want to ask you to stand with us this morning. When the mic's going to come, lead us in a hymn of invitation. Would you just simply say yes to him today? Say yes to Christ today. Come to him.
With us.
cup.
Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh,
God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Man, what a joy and a privilege to be in God's house together today. Thank you so much for being here today. Hey, I have just one announcement. We got a couple of things that are going on. Small groups on Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock. One of our small groups is going to be doing some hands-on ministry work, kind of doing what we've been talking about this morning. And so if you're part of Billy and Sandy's small group on Sunday nights, or if you would just like to go and be a part of what they're going to do over the next several weeks, if you want to just kind of hang around, they're going to be kind of right back here. This is kind of back corner here. They're going to be doing some ministries over at Beautiful Deliverance. And so if you'll just meet with them this morning before you get out of here, let them know. They're going to kind of tell you where to be and exactly what time and all those kind of things. So meet with them back there this morning before you get out of here. Okay? All right. Bridges and AJ, y'all come up here, buddy. Come right up here, man. Man, I'm telling you. Two good-looking guys, amen?
Amen?
I mean, I'm telling you, man, we're so excited about what God's going to do in your life, how God's already working, how He's going to continue to work. And I want you to come by and just love on them, encourage them, let them know that you're going to be praying for them, praying for God to give them direction and all those kind of things in life, and bring order in the midst of chaos and confusion sometimes, trying to find direction, right? And so I want these folks to come love on you guys this morning, man. But I want you to know personally, I'm committing to pray for you guys, man. Pray for you guys. I want you to feel free to call on us anytime. I know that guy over there knows a lot, but if you stump him, maybe me and him together can figure it out, okay? But I want you to feel free to call on us, okay? Love you guys, man. Thank y'all. Hey, listen, come by and extend to them that right hand of Christian fellowship. Amen. Hey, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mike, let's sing something this morning.
Love is the thing.
Amen.
Love is the thing. Love is the thing. Sweeter is.